land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just go wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Into the Show. Second hour on this Friday, Veterans Day edition of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line right now is Pastor Chatfield. He's got a lesson plan all lined up for us. Sir, go right ahead.
I got way too much. Was Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, was he an abolitionist? That's the question. That's the historical question. You might see where I'm going from that. In other words, an abolitionist was somebody back before the Civil War that wanted the immediate abolition of slavery. Forget anything else. It doesn't matter. Slavery is a moral evil. It's wrong. It's sinful. Abolish it at once. And if you don't agree with that, you're complicit in the sin. I mean, it's a way of looking at things. It's who they are, the abolitionist. Now, Abraham Lincoln, you know, our 16th president, the one who issued the Emancipation Proclamation that took effect January 1st, 1863, right in the middle of the Civil War, was not an abolitionist. And the abolitionists didn't like Lincoln. The abolitionists were part of the Republican Party. Maybe, I'm going to take a guess, maybe 30% of the Republicans were abolitionists. Maybe. I mean, that's a guess. So 70% were not. And obviously the Democrats that were centered in the South, there was no abolitionist at all in the South. So we could make the argument that maybe 20% of the United States was for the immediate abolition of slavery. And the abolitionists did not like Lincoln. I mean, if you had to draw a current parallel, the abolitionists would be the Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives,
okay,
more or less. They'd be. I mean, they're purist, absolutist. That's who they are.
Jim Jordan, Tom Massey, the whole lot of them. All of the Freedom House caucus members.
But you'll notice that even they saw the chaos involved with not having a speaker. And even they, even the furthest right wings one guy, especially Getz, I don't even know if he's a part of the is he a part of the Freedom Caucus? Maybe he is, I don't know. But, I mean, he's well nigh in political terms, he's an anarchist. In political terms.
Sure.
In absolutist terms. He knew, boy, that majority the Republicans had in the House of Representatives was so thin, and just two or three or four guys could swing an awful lot of power, and he did, and he decided to do that. But Lincoln was not an abolitionist, but all the abolitionists knew so. If there was a term, if Lincoln were around today, some of our friends, Randy, maybe you, I don't know, you'd say, hey, he's a rhino. He's a rhino.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd talk to you and say, Randy, I'm not a rhino. I'm trying to get something accomplished here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take a stand. Speak up. That's the way it is. Now, I believe, and I'm going to read you something from Michael Burlingame, a historian. I believe this is true. Lincoln.
I ask you to hold that thought. We're heading into a break. So let's pick it up right there on the other side. But
we'll do.
I understand totally what you're saying, but I want to question you about a text message I sent to the House Freedom Caucus in Lansing the night they passed the abortion bills.
Okay.
I want to get that in first before you make that comment.
Okay.
I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
It's fall in Tuscarora Township and Indian River. A beautiful symphony of nature's dazzling colors of ambers, reds, and yellows. Golden Burt Lake sunsets and the crisp, clean air of northern Michigan. Enjoy our beautiful trails and byways. Fish and boat our clean waters. And meet the friendly people in our community.
Township Supervisor Bob Kramer, we love this place, and you will too. That's why I paid for this message.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Joining us, staying on through the break, Pastor Chatfield with a history lesson. I sent a text message to the House Freedom Caucus in Lansing on the abortion night, the night that they passed all those abortion bills, House Bills 4949 through 4959. I included in the group text, Pastor Chatfield, Steve Cara, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Neil Friske, Matt Maddock, Angela Regas, Josh Shriver, Representative DeSanta, Dave Agema, Patrick Kobach, I think maybe a couple more. And I told them, walk out. Do not do what the speaker demands of you, that you have to be good little boys and good girls, little soldiers sitting in your seats, that you're quarantined to your seat. Do not sit there and vote no. Matt Hall, the minority leader in caucus, should have said to the Republicans, we're not voting on this. We're getting up and we're walking out of this chamber. The vote will be 56-0. Not 56-54, 56-0. And they didn't do it. They sat there like good little boys and girls and voted no. It passed along party lines. 56 Democrats, because they got Karen Whitsett to switch her vote from no to yes, because they left only 2 out of 11 components out of the abortion bill package. Medicaid did not pay for abortions, and they kept the 24-hour waiting period that the Republicans under Governor Rick Snyder had done during their power. But they sat there on their hands and pushed the red buttons. And when it was done, I texted the group text message back and I said, you all disgust me. That's all I said. Well, Matt Maddox tried to justify, saying that, you know, he spoke up and the speaker gave him an evil eye. Josh Shriver spoke up and said, Randy, I went up to the podium and I tried to speak and she cut my mic off. Why did she cut his mic off? Because he said the word murder. He said abortion is murder. And the communist, Lisa Pachutsky, the absolutely communist baby killer, was chairing the House that day. Why? Because she's got more speaking capabilities than the speaker, Joe Tate of Detroit, has. She is more of a absolute evil witch parliamentarian. That's why he gave her the gavel. And I'm sorry. They should have gotten up and walked out. They didn't. And I told them, you guys disgust me. I would even have been arrested had I been an elected state representative. I would have had the redcoats come and grab me, and I would have resisted arrest. They would have to call the state police, and they would have booked me that night. I would have had to post bond to get out of jail. I would not have sat there at my desk and pushed the red button. They disgust me. If you can't stand up for the babies, do not call yourself a pro-life Republican ever again. You sat at your desk, you sat on your hands, and I protested, Randy. I voted no. Who gives a crap about voting no? You should have stood up for your right to life principles, your pro-life principles. You can never call yourself a pro-life Republican ever again. Am I wrong?
Oh, boy. So you're calling every representative in our state. No, we don't have one pro-life representative in our state.
No, we do not. Yeah, because they didn't protest. They didn't object. They did not stand up and say, I'm not voting on this. This is not something God even wants me to vote on. It is so absolutely... so much horrific stuff in there. Do you know we now have partial birth abortion in Michigan? Up until the day of delivery, the baby's head can be crowning. The woman's water could have broken. She could be literally going into labor to deliver that baby. The baby's head could be crowning, and they could drill a hole in its skull cap, scramble its brain, basically killing it, and then pull it out piece by piece and put it on a tray to make sure all the pieces line up, is now legal in the state of Michigan once it goes into effect.
Well, let me ask you this, Randy. If they'd have taken your advice, would that have saved some babies' lives?
Yes, it would, because I'll tell you why. If they had gotten up in protest en masse, all 54 Republicans would have gotten up and walked out. and the vote would have been 56-0. Karen Whitsitt and maybe one or two other Democrats would have followed the Republicans' lead and said, you know what, I'm voting no. Because this is so tyrannical, this is so horrific. The provisions that are in House Bills 4949 through 4959 are so bad, so over the top, that our Republican colleagues won't even sit in their chairs and vote no, at the risk of being arrested for violating the Speaker's quarantine, where the redcoats could literally go out and grab them and drag them back to their desk and handcuff them to their chairs. It would have made headlines. And given the headlines, given the microphone, given the opportunity, they could have said why they got up and walked out, why they violated the House rules, why they basically told the Speaker, shove it. You can take away my committee assignments. You can take away my staff. You can take away my office furniture. I'll sit on a box. And they didn't do it.
What you're talking about is strategy.
Yes.
That's all. A strategy. The Republicans that voted against this, they voted no. They believed that's the best way forward to eventually someday save lives. Vote no. You're saying it would have been better to make a gigantic stink and
cause a scene.
Cause a scene.
Make headlines.
Well, there's no question about this. If you'd have been around in the 1850s, you'd have been an abolitionist. There's no
You dang right. John okay. Brown and I are kindred spirits.
There's no compromise in you.
No.
There is
none.
No okay. I get that. But we live in a country that's run by under a constitution. Majority rules. We have rules. And in the end, it was compromising Rhino Abraham Lincoln that issued the Emancipation Proclamation.
Absolutely.
It was guys like him that did it. And he wasn't an abolitionist. So you at least got to see that what we're talking about here is strategy. Now, I will put this out. The abolitionists had their part to play in the ultimately the destruction of slavery. They had their part. Lincoln looked at this as all it was providence. It was God that did it in the end. At the beginning of the war, he says this in his second inaugural address. He said, none of us could see this coming. He said, the Almighty has his own purposes. In other words, now, he said this, as slavery was, as the 13th Amendment had been passed, he says, we all have, that this war was God's will, and he gave to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came. We all had to go through the war. Because it was God's punishment for the nation for the sin of slavery. He did everything he could to avoid the war. He said at the beginning of the war, as you've heard me say, and he in his first inaugural address, when he was imploring the South, don't leave the Union, he said, I have no purpose, directly or indirectly, to interfere with the institution of slavery in the states where it exists. I believe I have no lawful right to do so, and I have no inclination to do so. He says, I'm not going to touch slavery.
Right.
And for words like that, the abolitionists railed at him. Now, I believe that Lincoln hated slavery. He really hated slavery. But he also loved the Constitution. And the Constitution allowed for slavery. And he also, while he hated slavery and thought it was just totally contradictory to the idea that all men are created equal, the statement in the Declaration of Independence, he looked at the Constitution, which recognized slavery, and his role as the chief executive, and he just couldn't go there and abolish slavery. He didn't have the authority. Now, in the midst of the war, he used the Emancipation Proclamation as a war measure, and it enabled him to do it. There was a whole series of events that came to pass because of the Civil War, which eventually brought slavery to an end. And the genius Lincoln, and he was a genius in my view, he couldn't see it coming. Nobody could see it coming. Only God saw it coming. I mean, and in his second inaugural address 4 years later, he looks backward and says, wow, how'd this happen? Who could see this coming? Now, when it comes to on the national level and the state level, you're saying, do whatever it takes. This is terrible. Abortion is murder.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Well, and here's the other component to it. What headlines did the Republicans make that night in that late night session when they stayed in session until 11:53 p.m.? What headlines did the Republicans make?
Tell me.
Nothing. Not one headline. Number two, what opportunity did they have to get their message out that this package of bills making Michigan the most abortion popular state in the United States of America? We are now the abortion capital of the country. We can abort late-term abortion babies that are coming out of the mother's womb. We can get college students referred to Planned Parenthood offices. We can get them referred to Planned Parenthood offices from public universities that are receiving public taxpayer funding. They can advise and actually now set up abortion appointments for our college students without their parents' knowledge, without the father's knowledge. They can do all of this. They can even get abortion, the night after pill, prescribed to college students. They can do anything they want to do. Did you know that Planned Parenthood, that clinic that you and I have protested in front of right there in Petoskey, do you know they can now perform abortions in that office without the doctor having privileges to McLaren Hospital just north, right there at the corner of 31 and 131? Before, under the Republican passed legislation, the doctor must have privileges at a nearby hospital. Why? Because if he nicks the uterus or the fallopian tube, causing the woman to start to hemorrhage and bleed out, that he could take her literally in his car. Forget an ambulance. He could put her in his car and drive up the street to McLaren Hospital, check in to the operating room, because he would have privileges at that hospital and would be able to save the mother's life. Is no longer a requirement.
I get it. Randy, all the pro-life people, all the good pro-life legislators in Lansing, and they're good. They think it's terrible, too. Now, here's my question to you. What's more important, you railing against it and getting headlines, or having some sort of strategy where we can eventually, someday, maybe, possibly, turn the tide?
Okay, answer this question. What good are they sitting on their butts, pushing the red button, voting 54 no's to it? In your strategy going forward, what good did it do that particular night?
Okay, now this is somewhat similar to Lincoln's predicament.
Okay, because we're going to have to hold it right there. Okay. How you're going to connect this to the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes.
Brother, you're going to have to sell me on it.
Okay.
All right. Bottom of the news break. He's Pastor Chad Bell. I'm Chuck Randy Bishop. We're your defending prop. We'll be right back.